Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Nerds, you're listening to the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast.
And we're back with another Answer of the Week. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. But you probably know that if you're listening to this show. Across from me, my main man, Dainty Joe Patrick, also a host of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. Joe Patrick, say hello to the kids.
Hello.
Every week, Joe Patrick posts the question of the week in the Two-Headed Nerd forums, and then you write down your answers in our forums, or you call us or send us an MP3. You can call us at 402-819-4894. That is the official Ziggurat hotline. Or you can get all fancy schmancy, slap something sexy together, and email it to us in an MP3. But before we get to your answers, Joe Patrick, I need to know what we asked these kids.
This week's question was inspired by our very own Kevin Coffey.
Okay. I know that guy.
He wants to know, who is your favorite lame supervillain?
Super Z-list. We're talking, worst of the worst.
We're talking the lamer, the better.
The dumbest.
We want to know who he is, what's his f***ing deal, and why do you love him so much?
All right.
Or her.
Or her.
Or it.
It. That's true. It could be an entity, a robot.
It could be animal, vegetable, or mineral.
Absolutely.
In the case of one villain I can think of, all three. The animal, vegetable, mineral man.
That's a real thing?
Oh, yeah. It's all a real thing.
Wow, that's sad. Randy Andrews takes back his crown as the first caller. He had a little problem last week, but he's back. Let's see what he's got, folks.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked, who is your favorite Z-list character, as in a villain? Well, guys, I'm going to have to go with a villain out of the Spider-Man 2099 universe named Venture. First of all, he's a cyborg. Second, he has a huge gun that also acts as a walking stick. Third, he can go toe-to-toe with Spidey 2099. His powers.
Well, yeah, he's got a huge gun.
Cybernetic implants in his skull to help him track down his bounty. And he dons a cowboy hat. How cool is that? He's tough, and no one wants to mess with him in that universe. And yet, he can still get beaten up by Spidey. Well, that's it this week, guys. Hope you like it. And Matt, this week my score music is the theme for Magneto from X-Men First Class. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.blogspot.com and see you in a week.
Apparently.
I don't know. Sounds like he's pretty badass to me.
Yeah.
Go toe-to-toe with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know what? Venture had a grand reappearance.
Really?
Superior Spider-Man 32.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
From last week.
Yes. Oh, my God. I didn't even like know. I was just like, oh, okay. I forgot about this character. I didn't know who it was.
But, I mean, seriously, though, it's 100 years in the future, and there's still a dude rolling around trying to look like a cowboy.
Yeah, you know.
Come on.
Cowboys are eternal, Joe.
I guess.
They'll always be cowboys.
Randy, thanks for everything, buddy.
Randy, I don't want to live in a world without cowboys. Thank you, buddy. Moving right along, we got another MP3 here.
Greetings, two-headed nerds. This is your number one true believer, Greg Litchfield, and the official THN old-timer. One of the most imaginative writers of comics was the late, great Steve Gerber, who created or wrote some of the best whacked-out villains in titles such as Man-Thing, The Defenders, and Omega the Unknown. Gerber is best known for creating, along with artist Mal Varick, Howard the Duck, the cigar-chopping anthropomorphic duck from another dimension. Howard the Duck received his own series in January of 1976, and in those 28 issues, scribed by Gerber, he created some of the most bizarre villains ever. My favorite of these villains was
Dr. Bong!
Dr. Bong first appeared in Howard the Duck number 15 in a story written by Steve Gerber and drawn by Gene Colan, entitled The Island of Dr. Bong. Dr. Bong is seen only in the final page of this issue, but what a debut! After washing ashore on a mysterious island, Howard and his human companion, Beverly Switzler, are rescued by Bong's genetically evolved animals, all the while hearing a bonging sound reverberating across the island. Howard and Bev turn around to see a man wearing a golden bell, replete with handle, covering his head like a knight's armed helm. Dr. Bong addresses them by shouting,
"May I welcome you to the island of Dr. Bong?"
To which Howard can only issue his classic, "Warg!" But to which Beverly sarcastically replies,
"What if I said, no, you may not?" Dr. Bong's attire consists of a long flowing red cape, matching boots, a puce overall leotard,
and a
WWE-worthy golden belt. Bong's most prominent accoutrement is a bowling ball-sized striker that he wears in place of his severed left hand, which he uses to bash his bell helmet with and create waves of concussive force that he either paralyzes his enemies with or transports them over great distances. Dr. Bong was a former journalist scientist named Lester Verde, who used his writing to defame anyone he felt had done him wrong. In an elaborate plot to win the heart of former college sweetheart Beverly, Lester joins a band, but in a bizarre accident, his left hand is cut off by a prop guillotine during one of the band's shows. This drives the already unstable Verde to become the bell-helmed villain, Dr. Bong! I love Dr. Bong, not only for his crazy costume and his preposterous powers, but his cockamamie schemes to win the heart of Beverly. Anyone interested in the old-timers' opinions on comics can find me on Twitter, at Greg Litchfield, where I review comics in 140 characters or less almost every day.
There you go, Matt and Joe! This is Greg Litchfield saying, "Nuff said!"
Poor Dr. Bong. Everything was stacked against him. He just wanted this poor woman to pay attention to him. He lost
life
his hand.
Is hard.
He put a bell in his head. He started making mutants. You know?
I love Dr. Bong.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was incredible.
Greg, I missed you.
Oh, nice to have you back, Greg. I appreciate that. Dr. Bong. Very nice. Let's check out our first call on the Google voicemail. Again, that number is 402-819-4894. Not enough of you use it. Call us. We're lonely.
Hey, Joe and Matt. It's Chris Mounts calling in for the answer of the week. Favorite D-list or Z-list supervillain bad guy would have to be the Black Flame from Hellboy. He's Mr. Zinko, a corporate D-bag with Dr. Doom-like delusions of using old Nazis and occult forces to gain incredible power, and ends up kind of being nothing more than a puppet for larger Lovecraftian forces. So that would be my pick. I gotta go before Bo and John from Burnt Wieners wake up. They're nestled next to me right now. And if I don't get out of bed and make their crepes, they're just terrible grouches. Talk to you next week.
I can see that. I can see John being downright grouchy if he wakes up without his crepes being ready.
Yeah.
I did like the Black Flame a lot. He was super scary, and I really liked how he turned out to be like nobody. He turned out to be a complete tool. Like, he was so scary, and it's like, nope, actually, he's just a tool.
You know? Is this a welcome aboard?
I think it is.
Hey, Chris.
Welcome aboard.
Just in case, welcome aboard.
Back the MP3 crew. See what they got for us.
This is Ryan, a.k.a. Hebrews on the forums and on the Twitter, calling in with the answer of the week. Who is my favorite Z-list villain? I went over on the forums and I listed a couple runners up, but all said and done, my favorite Z-list villain is Malice. A.K.A. Sue Storm. It was a storyline that was started by John Byrne towards the end when he was known for phoning it in. But when I really remember reading about Malice, it was in the pages of Fantastic Four 375 by Tom DeFalco, kind of in that area. I remember it was part of the new Fantastic Four, and I remember going back as a kid rereading it, and I didn't understand it, but I kept rereading and rereading. It's one of the most awful costumes. It's a bondage leather thing that made what she was already wearing looking calm down. But it was kind of a, you know, it worked for John Burns thing a little bit, but it was when Tom DeFalco did it, it really didn't make any sense 100 issues later. It's pretty awful, but you know what? If she was due to return, I think I'd be excited to see it in the pages for some reason. So that's it. That's my answer of the week, and talk to you guys soon.
Okay, was this Malice, the collar thing that possessed people and had like the face on it?
Well,
that showed up in X-Men?
No, there's Malice the Marauder,
okay,
from X-Men, who was like an energy being or a right. psychic being that like took people over.
Yeah, like, and she was like a ribboned collar or
but
something.
But there was also this thing when he said Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And the bondage thing, like, I totally remember seeing that, but I don't know anything about it.
Weird.
Yeah, it's so peculiar. Hold on.
After some research, we've discovered Malice is the name of four separate fictional comic book supervillains in the Marvel Comic Universe. The original Malice was a minion of Killmonger, an enemy of Black Panther. The second was a short-lived Ghost Rider villain. The last two villains bearing the name Malice are disembodied entities. Two separate
disembodied entities.
The first of which possesses Susan Richards of the Fantastic Four, making her very slutty. And the second, an evil mutant appearing in X-Men comics.
So here, let me jump down.
That's a lot of Malice.
Let me jump down to the Sue Storm thing. Malice was a negative aspect of Sue's own personality, awakened by the manipulations of the villain Psycho Man.
Okay.
Makes sense.
All right.
Malice retained the powers of the Invisible Woman, but she used them more aggressively, creating explosions and deadly force field spikes. Okay, so basically she's just Sue Storm if somebody said, hey, you deserve a break today.
Or more like she's Sue Storm. Someone's like, have you gained weight? You know, it's like, what? You know, like, super bitchy, slutty Sue Storm is what she is.
Eventually, Franklin, son of Reed and Sue, expelled Malice from her mind and into the mind of the Dark Raider, an insane alternate universe counterpart of Mr. Fantastic.
Whoops.
Comics, everybody. Malice was destroyed when the Dark Raider died shortly thereafter in the Negative Zone. Good Lord.
I think the Dark Raider got hit by a drunk driver. I think that's what I recall.
In the Negative Zone.
Yeah, he was just like driving home and boom, I don't know.
Hope it wasn't Razorback.
Yeah, that's too bad.
That is weird.
That's
four
different.
Yeah, but two of them
which are disembodied
are
entities.
Both disembodied. Like psychic entity.
I love it. You know, it's like they like already had written the X-Men issues and they're like, whoa, wait a minute. This already happened in Fantastic Four. And they all sat there for a minute and went,
we're behind deadline. Let's just go.
Yeah, f*** it. Let's do it anyway.
Ryan, thanks for your call and thanks for that little history lesson. We all learned something today.
That was great. That was great. I love it when you guys teach us something for a change. Not that we're teaching you a whole lot or anything you can do anything with in your real life.
Do not. Basically, we're saying do not listen to any of the lessons we try to teach you.
Hello, Twitter nerd. Shonix emailing in with my answer to the question of the week. This was a tough one. I batted around a lot of invincible villains. Most of them are dead now, but this one came to mind. This was actually a Marvel villain. This is back when I started reading Daredevil. And I think he first appeared right around the time that I just started reading it because mutants were in the book. And I was like, mutants? But I wanted to get my vigilante fix in the Marvel Universe. So I was trying out Daredevil. And this villain showed up later in a lot of some Punisher issues too. But this is Carl Burbank, a.k.a. Bushwhacker. He's a 6-foot, 225-pound blue-eyed, blonde-haired
Nazi
man of awesome. The guy.
Oh, I thought he was gonna say Nazi.
His kicker was his right arm was like totally altered, and it was all bionic, and he could actually shoot bullets from it. It functioned as a gun. He could even, you know, fire bullets from his index finger.
Not to be confused with random.
He could always also use right. his left hand and alter it to make it a shotgun. I just thought that was always really cool, and he was a kind of a, I don't know, he had the little rat tail, ponytail, and he was kind of Bosworth, Brian Bosworth.
Totally, he was stone cold.
but yeah, Something about him really appealed to me, and I would have to say him. I think he would be my favorite Z-list, even if he is a Z-list. I think he is. He's Bushwhacker. I mean, come on. Thanks, guys. Peace out. Talk to you next week. Peace.
Funny story. During a late Friday night Magic event at the store that we used to work at, Orin McWilliams and I had a long discussion about Bushwhacker and Random and whether or not they were firing poop out of their
I would say Random, yes. Bushwhacker, no.
Okay. Bushwhacker, because he had like cybernetic parts.
Yeah, I bet Bushwhacker had to like load his arm.
Random would like eat a chili dog and then like shoot you with poop bullets. Basically.
You better hope you didn't catch him on Mexican Day.
Oh boy. Ooh.
The chorizo goes right through him.
Shonix with Bushwhacker. Oh,
Bushwhacker is right up there with Razor Fist in the list of villains, stupid villains from the 80s. With weird things that happen to their hands.
Yeah.
Marvel, stop it.
Who was Wonder Man's brother that had the...
That's the Grim Reaper, though. He's classic. Yeah. He's the Grim Reaper. He's got a sickle.
But again, lost his hand, put a giant sickle on it. You can't do shit with. Like, you can't open doors. You can't roll down the window. You know?
See, and I always thought that the Grim Reaper was just like wearing that over his hand.
No, he lost his hand doing something. That was part of the deal.
Maybe.
Yeah, he lost his hand doing something.
Gun hands, though. Love it.
Yeah, right? I mean, who doesn't? We've all dreamed of having gun hands at one point. Although, a little weird once you crawl into bed with your loved one. You know, like, bang! Sorry, baby. Oh, God. Our final MP3 comes from one of our very own love slaves. Let's see what he's got for us.
Greetings, O Two-Headed One. This is THN love slave Kevin Coffey, author of Batman Forever, calling it a little late for the question of the week, but I hope you forgive me because I submitted the question.
You'll be punished
later.
I was
inspired to submit this question because I saw online a particular villain that I remember from being a kid and remember that it was so hilariously dumb that I thought talking about bad villains was just the way to go. So I racked my brain all week trying to think of a better one, and I just can't beat this villain. He's terrible. My favorite ridiculous villain is Monster X from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know the debut issue. I think they fought him two different times. I have the second issue, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles special from winter 1993. It's by Archie Comics. Of course, 1993, it came right out in the middle of Turtle Mania. I was way into it. And I also loved the Universal Pictures horror monsters. So this seemed like a great thing when I picked up the comic. Monster X is a combination of Dracula, the werewolf, Frankenstein, and the creature from the Black Lagoon. Of course, they couldn't say that in the comic. They called them Frankenstein's creation, a vampire, werewolf, and, quote, a gill man. I thought this comic would be so awesome, but it was one of the first times I can ever remember being disappointed or thinking something was completely dumb. So perhaps I was destined to be a critic from that moment on. Monster X was created by, quote, Krang experimenting with strange mutating rays, and all of a sudden,
yeah,
somehow, all these movie monsters were stuck into one thing. It has
That's
two
how it
heads,
goes.
Much like yourselves, and various limbs of these different monsters. That's it. That's all he does. He is strong because he has all these different things. He can fly because he's a vampire. And he can swim because he's a gill man. So they originally fought him in an amusement park. In the comic I have, they just go back to the amusement park. And surprise, they find him there again. Although they think he's a statue, except Splinter recognizes that he's stuck in frozen mud. I don't even know what that means. So they crack him out of the shell. They fight him again. And then, of course, how do they get him? They get him into the sun. And he melts. That's it. It's the dumbest thing in the world. He is the weakest villain, too, even though he's supposed to be so strong. My favorite quote from Monster X is, "So you call yourselves champions for good? Clumsy idiots. Your skills are still no match for our supernatural powers." I mean, that's as bad as it got from Monster X. So,
I mean, that sounds
pretty stupid.
Scary.
Thanks, guys.
Let's back up for a minute. Monster X is a mishmash of like all the Hollywood monsters.
The Universal monsters, yeah.
And he's made of mud?
Or he was...
He melted. He melted. Look, like they melted him.
It was unclear.
Like, is he mutated mud? I don't really understand. Regardless, that's a bad one. That's a really bad one. And a really nice deep cut. Totally impressed.
Yeah, I really am impressed.
Totally impressed.
Hey, Kevin, welcome aboard, buddy.
No doubt.
About, first ever call.
About goddamn time.
What have you been waiting for? Kevin sent a scan from the Monster X comics in question. It will be the image that accompanies this post when it goes up.
It's too good.
You all need to see it. Frozen Mud dudes, your guess is as good as mine.
Favorite call. Favorite worst bad guy.
My favorite call is Greg Litchfield, Dr. Bong.
That was a good one. Dr. Bong was an excellent one. And I thought Greg did a great job fleshing out Dr. Bong. I feel for Dr. Bong after that. I think I got to pick him too. I think he's got to be my favorite. Although, I have an affinity for Bushwhacker. I don't know why. I totally do, though. It's just because he popped up in my Daredevil comics when I was young.
That's fair.
You know.
That's fair.
So did Nuke. But Nuke actually came back not too long ago and was pretty scary. You know?
Yeah, I mean...
And I almost picked Nuke. That was almost my guy. But I went with somebody else.
All right. Lay it on me.
I went with the Zaniac.
All right.
The Zaniac is, again, a disembodied spirit of rage that wants nothing more but to kill beautiful women. For no other reason than he wants to kill beautiful women. And when I say disembodied, I mean he appears as like a host of flies that like go into your mouth, possess your body, give you the power to create energy knives and superhuman strength so that you can kill beautiful women. The first time I bumped into the Zaniac was a fill-in issue of the Mighty Thor, Doug Mensch.
I thought it was he was Ghost Rider. But
could have been. Go on. This is my first encounter.
No, that's fine.
Doug Mensch created the Zaniac. I only found that out afterwards. I'm on record as being a huge Doug Mensch fan. I only found this out later. And sure. He's actually a really scary idea. And this interrupted my Simons and Thor run when I was young. And I was like, what is this crap? And I remember the cover, it was Battle in the Shadow of the Zaniac. And it was the original theory was that it's believed this entity possessed Jack the Ripper and made him kill all those hookers and stuff. Yeah, it's scary stuff. In more recent years, actor Brad Wolf accepted the role of the fictional Zaniac in a slasher movie. Guess what?
He became the real Zaniac.
He became the Zaniac in a twist of fate, right? The movie was being filmed at the site of the Manhattan Project. Go figure.
Why not?
Where the Atom was first split in Chicago. Wolf, dressed as the Zaniac, in front of cameras, chased a woman with a knife and unwittingly ran into the bleachers where a massive explosion released radiation and mutated Wolf into the Zaniac. Super strong, able to create energy knives, the Zaniac craved blood. Maddened and driven by the need to follow the movie's storyline, the Zaniac tried to kill the nearest girl, Shauna Lind, a good friend of Donald Blake. And let me tell you, Donald Blake, Thor!
That's right.
Thor was not going to put up with that. We found out that this is not just a dude that wants to kill women, a super strong dude that wants to kill women. Thor tangled with him, kicked his ass. I don't think we've seen the Zaniac since.
I've never saw him before.
Like at a young, and he was like super misogynistic and stuff. Like he hated women.
Oh, you know what? I'm confusing him with Zodiac.
Not Zodiac.
Who, there's the Avengers organization of villains, Zodiac, but there was also a Ghost Rider villain, Zodiac, that was like supernatural killer guy.
Right.
Anyway, not the Zaniac.
No, not the Zaniac. But the best part of it was like, so Thor stops him from killing this woman, right? And he's like, all right, Zaniac, you're done. And Zaniac escapes. And it's like, oh, what does the script say? Oh, in the next scene, I kill a house full of girls. All right, I'm going to go do that.
You know, like, so he's just following the screenplay.
The script. I don't know if he really liked it or whatever. It was so bad.
The Zaniac.
My choice is the Zaniac. And if you're going to look at the Zaniac, he looks very much like he could be a Scooby-Doo villain. He has a green hair and a green beard, yellow skin, a ripped up shirt. Purple pants. The Zaniac.
Holy shit.
Yeah, totally.
Oh my God.
It looks like they unmask him and it's old man Carruthers, the janitor from the circus.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you kids. You know? Joe Patrick, who's your favorite Z-list villain?
Okay, I had the answer to this question the second I read Kevin's suggestion. My favorite lame villain of all time is Herman Schultz, the Shocker, from Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery.
The Shocker.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Okay.
But I love him. I love him. Of course I do. But he is not a good supervillain.
Nah, he's bad.
He is a bad supervillain. Here's a little bit of history about Herman Schultz. Herman Schultz was a genius engineer who becomes a safecracker because of reasons.
Yeah, stuff happens.
And he is caught and incarcerated for his crimes while he's in prison. Using spare parts he finds at the prison.
It happens, Joe.
And the mattress from his bed.
Okay.
He builds his shocker rig.
Yep.
And escapes and becomes a bank robber.
Which is like a fishnet outfit, basically.
It is a padded outfit.
He's a dude running around in fishnets.
It's not fishnet. It's like the weird, like a lumpy mattress.
Yeah,
like
yeah. Like quilted, he's wearing a mattress.
Like the quilted mattress pattern. So let me back up and reiterate this a little bit more clearly. The guy is smart enough to build handheld weapons that don't require fuel or ammunition out of spare parts he found laying around the prison.
Nature versus nurture, okay? I think he came from a broken home or something. You know, like maybe he didn't have a positive male figure role model when he was growing up.
Go find your buddy. Go find your buddy, the Beetle, and team up and go to the freaking Air Force or the
Aeronautics Company
Defense or
something.
Anything. Morons. Yeah. The Shocker is always showing up, always getting his ass kicked.
Yep.
And now he's being used to wonderful effect in the pages of Superior Foes of Spider-Man, one of Marvel's best and funniest books on the stands
right
now.
It is a great book. It really is.
I love the Shocker. Always have.
It's a great question. I love all the answers everybody that gave us. We don't have a show without you guys. Thank you so much for calling in every week. Guys like Shonix, guys like Randy Andrews, you call us every week. And I want to thank you because we don't have a show without you. More of you need to call us. I know you have answers to this stuff. I realize this week's question kind of sucks, but Joe Patrick came up with it, and there's not much I could do about it.
It doesn't suck.
Speaking of it, Joe, what is the question?
It fits with the news for this week's Two Headed Nerd.
I know, I'm teasing
you. And I think if you think about it a little bit, you're going to have some fun with it.
What is this week's question?
Inspired by Rob Liefeld creating an app in his own image.
He'd be like, Rob's on the toilet right now. He'll be right back.
That's right. I want you guys to pitch us your idea for your own nerdy app. It doesn't necessarily have to be comics, but something geeky, video games, movies, whatever.
I want to stretch it a little bit. It can be as far out and otherworldly and insane.
No. That was not the parameters of the question.
I was going to make a supervillain app.
No. I want you to come up with an idea. It can be fun, like just for fun, or can actually be functional.
Okay.
And anything goes as long as it makes sense.
Okay.
Like I want it to work.
It has to be something that could actually work.
I mean, I understand we're not all programmers.
Right.
So we're not going to necessarily know what can and can't work. But
I can't have like my Scott Baio Zapped app where I can like see through everybody's clothes.
Right.
When I hold my phone up, like, yeah.
I don't want you to come up with an app that's about the history of Joe Patrick and the Two-Headed Nerd that also orders you Chinese food, which was the example we came up with on the show.
That only orders you Chinese
because
food.
Those things don't actually go together.
Sure.
So, have some fun.
Okay.
Come up with an idea. Hit us with it.
All right.
3 minutes or less. It's an elevator pitch.
There you go. I like it. I like it. Of course, we'll have another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast coming this weekend. Thank you so much for playing along, guys. This is the Two-Headed Nerd, signing off.
Hey, nerds. If you've got an answer to the question of the week, you can call THN at the Ziggurat direct line and leave your message at 402-819-4894. Or using the Skype username, Two-Headed Nerd. And if you're too shy or have just too much to say at once, you can write your message under the Answer of the Week section of the THN forums.